Yeah, they work hard, amen, and they do a great job. Yeah, look at him. He said, get that towel off now. Look at him. Bless his heart, amen. He like his daddy, amen. All right. That's your boy, Mike, amen. Amen. All right, tonight, of course, is tag team preaching, amen. Amen. And so tonight, first up on the docket is brother, what's your name again? Brother Brett Clayton, amen. Hallelujah. Is that, you know, the first person's name you're preaching with? You know, just in case. But anyway, so he's going to come up and kick us off. Amen. So you pray for Brother Brett. He comes and he preaches for us. Amen. 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 Give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. After you read the scripture, we'll flip her over. Amen. Hallelujah.
Take my time and read that later.
Don't be like Bill Paisley. Come on. Amen.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand for the reading of God's word.
Amen.
We're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 16. Very familiar passage. Luke chapter 16. And verse number 19. Luke chapter 16. And verse number 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fare sumptuously every day.
Amen.
And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham far off, and Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead.
Yeah.
With the Lord be my helper, we're going to preach tonight on life after death. Life after death.
Yes,
let's
sir.
Pray.
Help us, God. Help us.
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for blessing me.
Yes, sir. Holy Spirit.
Lord, I'm not worthy to be here, Lord, but I thank you for saving me,
yes,
rescuing me, and calling me and delivering me, Lord. So I pray that you help me to deliver your word, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you hide me behind the cross, Lord. I pray that they see you, Lord, and not
help
see
us,
me.
Help
Lord.
Us. Help us.
So I pray you help me to write the divine word.
Yes, sir. Help
Lord.
Us.
Lord, and preach with your power, with your strength, Lord. Lord, we love you. Pray in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be
Hallelujah.
Seated.
Amen.
This is a real event going on right here in Luke chapter 16. This past week, this past Tuesday, they pulled the names out, and I was first. I was in the back, and I was surprised. I was shocked, but I was ready. I wanted to preach his word.
Amen.
This past week, I got sick, and Lord help me. But I was drinking some juice, some Goya juice or some type of fruit drink, and I won't go any further. And my wife says I go into too many details, so I spare you the details. But we see this life after death. I title this because growing up, I was real deep into rap, into hip hop. And if you know anything about life after death, it was a rapper by the name of Christopher Wallace, which was Biggie Smalls and Notorious Big, and he was a real famous rapper. Well, I didn't like him. I like his rival, his enemy, which was Tupac. But when I think about this story, I think about him because he had the album. His first album was Ready to Die. His second album was called Life After Death. And I remember this past summer, I was in the front cutting grass, and a kid rode by, and he played a song. And he played a song from this album. The song he played was entitled, It was entitled Suicide Thoughts. And at that split moment, he drove by, and you're going to hear the lyrics for maybe a second or two. But when the lyrics came out, I remember the song, and it played vividly, and I thought about it. He used some strong words in those, in that lyric, in those first four bars. And I've skipped some words because it's too vivid to repeat. He says, "When I die, I want to go to hell." He says, "It doesn't make sense for me to go to heaven with the goody goodies, dressed in white. I like black Tims and black hoodies. Black Tims, what he means is boots. Those are boots they wear. It's more of a hip hop style than anything." And he said, "Black hoodies. Hoodie usually represent, you being tough, or you being not all hoodies, but certain hoodies, certain styles, certain way you wear it." And then he said, "Black Tims and black hoodies." Then he said, "God would probably have me being strict, being that I can't do what I want to do." Then he said that he can't sleep all day. Cause, most lazy people, and I used to be lazy at that point in time, but most lazy people just want to sleep all day, and they want to party at night. Well, he wanted to sleep all day, party all night, and basically he wanted to fornicate. Well, this is what he was talking about. He was talking about, he thought that life after death, that he can party in hell.
Yeah.
Well, this is a true story here, and we're going to get to the story, the two places, the two people that in this story, and how to receive death and the place they went, the plea, the prayer that the rich man, I want to go into detail, but we get there in a minute, that the rich man, what he did when he got there. So Pastor's going to kick us off with the people.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you run over to that verse, something he said clicked in my mind. A lot of times folks think it's going to be a big party in hell. Won't be no party, won't be no laughing, won't be no all night hanging out and all that kind of stuff. As you're going to see in a few moments, hell is a dark place. Hell is a lonely place. Hell is a place, my dear friends, that nobody in their right mind would want to go, amen. But the first thing we're going to see right here is about the two people. Verse 19, the Bible says this, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and the Bible says he fared sumptuously every day. The first man in the story is a man that was rich. Nothing wrong with being rich. Matter of fact, the Bible said Abraham was rich. Amen. So being rich is not so much a negative thing. It all depends on the person's heart and the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says about this rich man, he was clothed in purple. He had fine linen, and he rejoiced sumptuously or luxuriously. In other words, he was doing pretty good.
Amen.
He was doing pretty fine. But then the Bible says there's another guy in this story, and the Bible says his name was a beggar. And there was a certain beggar. He was poor, he was helpless, named Lazarus, which was laid, the Bible says, at his gate full of sores. Here was this man named Lazarus, and he's laying down at the rich man's, at the door of a rich man, and the Bible says that he was a poor man. The Bible goes on to say, my dear friends, that also he was full of sores, or like ulcers. And if you got your body full of ulcers, that ain't a good thing. That's a bad thing. But then we see something else, my dear friends. He had a desire. The Bible says, and desiring, longing, the Bible says, to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. The Bible says, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So here you have this guy. He's poor. We have a rich guy. But knows where the poor man's at? Outside, my dear friends, at the door. And all he wanted was the crumbs from this man's table. Now, because, my friends, we know in the Old Testament, it says there's a certain way we should interact with those who are poor.
Amen.
But apparently, this guy wasn't doing it. From over the Bible says over here, and in Psalm, that's on your time, now it's on my time. All right,
amen.
So look what the Bible says right here in Proverbs 19, verse 17. The Bible says this in Proverbs 19, verse 17. And I'm sure he had heard about these scriptures. He was a Jew, no doubt. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 19, verse 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto who? The Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again? That's a good verse. The Bible says here, my dear friends, he that hath pity or kindness upon the poor, upon the needy, what he does is he's lending unto the Lord. And when you lend something to God, hallelujah, God always repays. The Bible says, and that which he hath given, will he pay again. That's God paying that person again that's lending to the poor. When you help a poor person, you are lending to that person. But lending to God, and God's going to repay you. But now watch this. Look at Proverbs 14 and verse 21. Proverbs 14 and verse 21. The Bible says this. He that despiseth his neighbor, oh my, but he that despiseth his neighbor, or he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. But he that hath mercy or kindness on the poor, the Bible says what? Happy, blessed is he. It's a blessed thing, my dear friends, when you and I have mercy or kindness on the poor. But now watch this. Look at Proverbs 21 and verse number 13. What are you trying to tell me, preacher? It's a good thing to help people that need help. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 21 verse 13. Whoso, stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he, the Bible says, also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. The person that sees somebody that's in need, my dear friends, and stops up his ears so he can't hear them, the Bible says, okay, you go cry one day yourself. And guess what? You will not be heard. But now watch this. Look, the Bible also says, my dear friends, in Proverbs 28 and verse 27, the Bible says this in Proverbs 28, verse 27. The Bible says in verse 27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many, not a few, but many a curse. So we'll get an amen on this here. Amen. But the Bible says, this is what it's like. You go around stopping your ears up. You go around closing your eyes. I can't see them. I don't see them. I don't see them. The Bible says, okay. You are not going to get blessed. And some folks are receiving blessings, my friends, because, my dear friends, they have their eyes covered. They have their ears stopped up so they won't be able to see nor hear the cries of those who have need. Why are you talking about that, preacher? Sounds like to me that this brother here, he wasn't helping the man that was outside his house. Because all he was getting was crumbs. And the dogs was licking his sores. And no doubt, my friends, this guy had to come out of his house and perhaps see him there. But maybe he figured, well, he gets some crumbs, that's good enough for him. But the Bible teaches something else, my dear friend. Let me show you this real quick. Look what the Bible said in 1 John 3 and verse number 17. Look what the Bible says here in 1 John 3 and verse number 17. The Bible tells us this. This one thing that shows us where we stand up with the love of God, the Bible says in verse number 17 of 1 John 3. But whoso, verse 16, hereby perceiveth the love of God, because he laid down, the Bible says, his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso, the Bible says, hath this world's good, and seeth, oh my, he seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels, or sympathy, or inward parts of compassion from him, how? How? Dwelleth the love of God in him. The Bible says, how can the love of God dwell in a person when he sees somebody that has need? He can provide that need, but he does nothing about it. It sounds like to me, my dear friends, that was the state of this rich man. He saw Lazarus' state, did nothing about it. My dear friends, he's about to have a sad end. Because when you have the love of God in your heart, you're going to be compelled. If nothing else, you're going to be convicted about helping somebody that has need. You got it, about 3 seconds. Amen. Hallelujah. On my time. Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn back to Luke chapter 16. Not only do we see the two people, we see the two places. Y'all beat me there. Amen. In verse 22, the Bible says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried. Let's pause right there. It said that the beggar was died and he was carried. If you think about that, he said he was and was carried. by the angels into Abraham's bosom. See, when he died, he was carried. He was guided into Abraham's bosom. And then you see, next it says, and the rich man also died and was buried. Mm. See, when a rich man died, you know, he at that point he was rich. Of course, he was a rich man. So he had a fancy a burial, and he had all the fine linens and all those things. But we kind of skip something here. If you see that, it says he was buried. You go back, it says the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Then a semicolon there. That means it's a pause.
Yeah.
That means he died before the rich man died. Abraham, Lazarus died before the rich man died. Mm-hmm. So therefore, he still had a chance. Mm-hmm. If you look at this semicolon, pause, it's a break there. Then it said, the rich man also died and was buried. And it said, in hell. That word hell there means Hades. Right. I'll explain that in a second. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, to see Abraham fall off and Lazarus in his bosom. You see that it says, in hell. That word hell there means Hades. So it was a separation point. So when Lazarus died, just for example, it was a holding place until Jesus Christ was ascending to heaven.
Right.
But when he was in, it was like, okay, for example, it's like a holding cell. If you was rough and you was kind of
brother.
You was kind of bad as a kid, you was throwing snowballs at police officers, and you get arrested, they take you somewhere called a place called jail. You go to jail, and they try to charge you with something bad. But anyway, you go to jail, and my thing is this: pause there. How can it be assault and battery if it's a snowball? A snowball is made, you know, it's fluffy and soft. You know, I didn't have the ice, Lord. You know, I mean, I didn't have the, you know, but they tried to hurt, but anyway. But
try to hurt, brother.
It was all my fault. I was, you know, we was playing, and we thought the policemen were bad guys, and, you know, and it's the way we was brought up. It's the music. It's that Biggie and Tupac thing. I blame it on the music. Parents, don't let your kids listen to that type of music. It's bad for them. They get aggravated and get all this animosity. They just want to, you get to listen to music and you just want to fight and you want to just punch people and just slap people. What do you think most football players listen to before they go out and play football?
Yeah.
You don't want to listen to la la la. Something's nice and simple. You want something that's going to, you want to hurt somebody. It's physical. Let me get back to the Bible. Well, anyway, it was a holding place. So before you go to the prison, they put you in a holding cell until you go through the trial and all those things. But I went, Lord help me. There's a difference between heaven and hell.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna give you some comparisons. In hell, it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
In heaven, it's light.
Yeah.
In hell, there's weeping.
Yeah.
In heaven, there's no tears.
Yeah.
In hell, there's wailing. In heaven, there's Holy Ghost shouting.
Yeah. Amen.
In hell, there's screaming. Yeah. In heaven, there's singing.
Yeah.
In hell, there's fire and brimstone. In heaven, there's streets of gold.
Hallelujah.
In heaven, in hell, there's thirst. In heaven, you never thirst again.
Amen.
In hell, there's eternal separation. In heaven, you're always in his presence.
Yes, sir.
In hell, there's misery and pain. In heaven, there's a new body. Hallelujah. You don't have all those aches and those pains and those back pain and those and all those elbow pain. Yeah. I think about Josh, the same pain over and over. You have a new body with new creatures.
Amen.
Then there's memory. And in hell, there's memory and there's remorse.
Mm.
And in heaven, it's all forgiveness. Yeah. It's all forgiven. Yeah. Everything's forgiven.
Mm.
Why? Because we put our trust and our hope in Jesus. Come on, Pastor. You go ahead.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we see the people, we see the place, and next we see the plea. The Bible says in the next verse, in verse number 24, the Bible says this. Look at verse 23. In hell he lifted up his eyes in the torments and seen Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am having a party in this flame. No, the Bible says I am tormented. I am grieved. I'm in sorrow, the Bible says, my dear friends. And beside all this, or verse 25 said, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. And likewise, similarly, Lazarus, evil things or depraved things. But now is he comforted and thou are tormented. The first thing we see on this plea, my dear friends, is this. Is that here is this man and he prays to the wrong person. What are you talking about, preacher? He's asking Abraham to do something for him. But Abraham, my dear friend, ain't God. And the place was called Abraham's bosom because, my friend, it represents a place of paradise or a place of peace. But he's praying the wrong person. He's asking the wrong person to do something for him that he needs to have done. And oftentimes, my dear friends, we'll go to statues and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that statue can't help you. We need to go to God the Father and not Father Abraham. Amen. Listen, Mary was a wonderful person. The Bible speaks about Mary. And we should not talk about her in a negative way. Because the Bible speaks very highly of Mary. At the same time, though, my friends, the Bible does not teach us to pray to Mary. Somebody said, well, if I pray to Mary, she's a female. So she understands what I'm going through. We need to understand that the Bible said that Jesus was tempted in all things, my dear friends, yet he did not sin. He experienced every pain, every emotion the enemy of us could ever experience. And the person we cry out to is not Mother Mary, but we cry out to our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. My dear friends, he's told you to pray to the wrong person. And then we see he's asking for the wrong deliverer. The Bible says this, Abraham, do me a favor. He says here, send Lazarus, verse 24, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. See, he's asking for the wrong deliverer. Lazarus can't deliver him from the torment. And my dear friends, Lazarus cannot do anything about his predicament. And then on top of that, my dear friends, he's asking for the wrong type of water. He wants some physical water, but the Bible teaches us, this is a good outline, brother, but the Bible teaches us, my friends, in John chapter 4, verse 13, John 4 and verse 13, the Bible says this, my friends, in John 4, verse number 13. And this is, of course, the story about the woman at the well. And the Bible says here, she's at that well, but Jesus answered and said to her, well, whosoever drinketh of this water, this physical water, shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh, he says, of the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's the right type of water that we need. These are, I mean, a spiritual drink. Hallelujah. But now that, look at John chapter 7 and verse 37. The Bible gives us a little bit more clear definition about this good water that Christ has. The Bible said in verse number 37, it says this. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried saying this. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, the Bible says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Preacher, what's this living water? Let me tell you. Verse 39. But this, Bible spake itself, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
Amen.
That goes back over to John 16 where he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. He is with you, but he shall be in you. My dear friends, when you and I are going to drink of salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit is there on a permanent basis. But here you got a guy that's asking the wrong people, the wrong questions, by the way, at the wrong time. Because he's already made his decision, my dear friends. He's already made his decision. And once you've crossed the thresholds of death, that's not the time to ask for salvation then. Because then, my dear friends, it's too late. Well, you, brother.
Not only do we see the two people, or the two places, we see the plea, we also see the prayer. The Bible says in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, or I ask thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send or dispatch him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, or he may witness unto them. These they also come to this place of torment. So hell is in a place of partying, a place of wild living.
No, sir.
You burning. It's hot. Yeah. Hell is hot. Hell is humid. Then the Bible says in verse 29, Abraham said unto him, so he gave him an answer. Abraham said unto him that they have Moses and the prophets.
Yes, sir.
Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. No, he wouldn't. You know why he wouldn't? I'm going to show you why. Go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 9. There was one that rose from the dead. Jesus brought one person. Mm-hmm. That person has the same name as this Lazarus. They're two different people. We're going to show you here in John chapter 12. I'm in chapter 9, but amen. That's good too. John chapter 12 and verse 9. The Bible says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only.
Come on.
But that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead.
Yeah.
But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
So one person did raise from the dead. Yeah. They had someone walking around. You had Lazarus. What did they try to do to him? They tried to kill him.
Yeah.
They tried to put him to death. So this rich man who's in hell, who's in torment now he's saying, can you send another one? Abraham said no. Mm-hmm. You won't believe the people that's here with you now. Your brother, they were too busy partying. They was partying. They was rich. Rich people, all rich people don't go to hell. Don't make a mistake there. But you see, with their wealth, they was coveting. The Bible says in Second Timothy, I might be First Timothy. We'll go there in a second. I can't read. Find them. I'm just going to quote.
First Timothy 6.
You sure it's not Second Timothy? Ain't no chapter 6. There you go. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. Amen, Pastor.
Amen.
He back to looking at me. Amen. Verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. You see people quote this wrong all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They say the love of money is the root. It says for the love of money. Money is not the root of all evil. It's okay to have money.
Mm-hmm.
I would have money. But the Bible says for the love of money. That means they covet after money. That's their goal. The goal is not to see Christ. The goal is not to be saved. The goal is to have wealth. You end up with wealth, you end up in hell. Mm-hmm. But there's a promise. And Pastor's going to show us the promise. You got time.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we see right here, my dear friend, we see the people. We see the place.
Sorry. Amen.
I thought it was time to check out. I'm like, gone. So we see the people. We see the place. We see the plea. We see the prayer. And then we see the promise. When you go back over to Gospel of Luke, the Bible says this, and I want to test this before we go farther. In verse 26. Here's this man, he's crying out for help, but he had to realize it was too late. For the Bible says this in verse number 26. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf, a gap, fixed. So they which would desire to pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So we see right here, my dear friends, he said, hold on a second. There's a big gulf here. You can't get to us, and we can't get to you. Can you imagine, my dear friends, if you saw one of your loved ones over there on the other side, what would you be doing trying to get them on this side? But the Bible says that God had it fixed at that particular time where they could not get over here and you cannot go over there. By the way, that place there called, that place that's there, paradise or Abraham's bosom, is no longer there anymore. Because now, my dear friend, the Bible teaches us, be absent in the bodies, beware. present with the Lord. In Ephesians, it tells us that Christ went there, my dear friends, and he brought those who's in captivity out of captivity. So now, my friends, like Jesus says over in John chapter 14, I go prepare a place for you so that where I am, that you may be also. So now, my dear friends, when we leave this earth, we don't go to Abraham's bosom, but we go straight to heaven. Hallelujah. And so we see right here, my dear friends, as he's prayed this prayer, he's made this plea, but the Bible said in verse 31, and Abraham said to him, if they hear not Moses, I know you want Lazarus to go back, but if they hear not Moses, which represents the law, and the prophets, the Bible says this, neither will they be persuaded, convinced, trust, or believe, but one rose from the dead. Oh, by the way, didn't Jesus arise from the dead? Oh, by the way, wasn't he there for about 40 days, the Bible says? But even then, folks still would not believe. By the way, when Jesus was on that cross, the Bible says there was some dead folks that got up out of the grave walking around. And folks still did not believe. So my friends, we think, well, if the ceiling would just would open up and a beam of light would sweep down, ooh, I believe. We wouldn't believe then either. The children of Israel seen the Red Sea parted. They seen Moses hit the rock and water come out. They saw where they didn't have any food, where God sent manna down from heaven, and also he sent quail as well. But guess what? They still were stubborn and hard-headed. By the way, God has blessed us in so many different ways. But still, my dear friends, we wonder, is he going to take care of this situation I got today? When you look back at all that he did back here, what's changed? For the Bible said that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He does not change, not one iota.
Amen.
And the truth of the matter is simply this, my friends. There is life also after death. When we think about death, we think about the end. No, that's the beginning. When a person leaves this earth, his body is left here, but his soul and spirit is going one or the other place. Either is going to heaven or is going to hell. And that's a choice that I can't make for you, you can't make for me, but we can make it for our own selves. That's why it's so important to know for sure that you know, but you know, but you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. Well, I went to church, quit talking. I paid my tithes. I said, woo, amen. That's great. But that ain't what gets you into heaven. For the Bible says we're not saved by works. No. Well, we're saved, my dear friends, by the Lord Jesus Christ. We put our faith and our trust in him. So life after death is coming. The only question is simply this. Where are you going? By the way, don't let your reputation get you there. Because that won't do it either. We got folks sitting right here in our auditorium who have made professions of faith. And then afterwards, the Lord revealed them the actual truth. They were not truly saved, blood bought and born again. And by the way, it would not surprise me. And the number of folks that are here right here today, there's not folks sitting here right now who made a profession of faith, but do not possess Christ as a Lord and their Savior. And we don't need to try to say, well, I got a certain date. That's great to have a date. But do you know the Savior? Does the Holy Ghost convict you in your heart? Do you have a desire for the things of God? My dear friends, do you get convicted by sin? All these things you ask yourself. Is that, where am I at with Christ? It's important that you know, that you know, that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's life after death. If you aren't saved, today is the day of salvation. And if you are, let's continue to reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell people about the good old story. They don't have to die and go to hell. That's a sad, sad commentary on that young man's life. He said, I want to go to hell where I can party. Yeah. There's no party. By the way, it's dark. You think it's dark at the party place you go to? It's going to be dark there. Yeah. The Bible says there's gnashing of teeth. You can't see anything. The heat is beyond your wildest imagination. By the way, the Bible says you'll be burning, but not consumed. To me, that makes me think about a person that takes their finger and they touch something that's very hot, like the stove, and it burns your finger, but the finger don't burn up, but you still feel that burn. It's like you put it in something cold, it makes that much worse. It's like it just gnawing at you. That's hell, my dear friends. A place where the fire is never quenched. That's why it's important to know for sure that heaven is your final destination. The question is this. life after death, where you're headed. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. And perhaps, God, there's someone here today or someone watching right now who is not sure that heaven is their final destination. Father, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ that they will come forward, kneel down at an old-fashioned altar, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins, come to their heart, and they trust Christ as their Savior, and realize this, the penalty, the payment has already been paid. Christ has already taken care of all of it. What they got to do now is actually believe that what Christ has done is enough. Trust Christ as their Savior. And the Bible says that all that come to Christ will in no wise cast out. He will not push them away. And then perhaps, God, there's someone here today saying, you know what, I am saved. I am blood-bought, and I am born again. But I must confess, I have not been living the life of a Christian. I have not been living as I ought to live for Jesus Christ. I have not been dying to myself as the word of God that was preached this morning. I've been living selfishly. I've been living for me, myself, and I have not been caring about anyone else but me and what I want. I pray, God, they come today. So, Lord, help me to be more like Christ. Clean me up. Scrub me thoroughly. Please. For it's in your Son's name we pray, Father, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. And